Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
I don't like preachers that sit on stools when they preach. Number two, I think preachers ought to wear neckties. Number three, I just think that they ought to be just a dignity that you always have to dress up to come to church. Those are just my private little things, you know. But here I am. I'm doing all those things I don't like to see other people do. So we learn a lot. You just go through life, the Lord will teach you a lot. You'll begin to see things from other people's perspective rather than just your own. You know, I used to have a guy that traveled with me, and I preached all over the country with him and out of the country. I remember when I first preached for PTL with Jim Baker, been almost 30, 40 years ago now. I remember Jim said first, he said, "See, don't let it bother you. You got 17 million people watching you right now." And so this guy had seen me preach to 17 million people, and he'd seen me preach to thousands. He went with me one night to Houston, and that meeting in Houston, seven people showed up. Coming home, he said, "Steve, that's the best I've ever heard you preach." He said, "There's only seven people there." I said, "Yeah, I always save the best for those people that really persevere. So it's going to be my best today for you, okay?" Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You understand? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You may be seated. That sounds pretty final, doesn't it? Sounds like it's unalterable, that it's settled. It really fuels those that are predestinationist. It really fuels those that are fatalist. You know what a fatalist is? The acceptance of all things, events, as inevitable. It doesn't matter what happens, it was going to happen. I've dealt with a lot of people. I've had people tell me, I invite them to come to the Lord or come to the house of God, and they'd say, "Preacher, I believe I'm going to be saved. I'll just be saved. And if I'm going to be lost, I'll be lost. There's nothing I can do about it." That's a fatalist. That's a predestinationist. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Fatalism and faith cannot coexist. A person cannot be both faith-filled and fatalist. It's just going to happen. There's nothing I can do about it. I believe that I can change everything. Through Christ, I can do all things. If I can do all things, that means I can change all things. So I'm not a fatalist. I'm filled with faith. Fatalism is like a cancer to your faith. If you get into that fatalism mindset, it will just destroy your faith. Well, it don't matter. You see, I believe it matters. I believe whether I praise God or not matters. I believe whether I come to church or not matters. I believe whether I give or don't give matters. I believe whether I love people or don't love people, it matters. And I can change things by that. So what we're talking about is it's appointed once a man to die and then the judgment. According to that, you've got a date out there somewhere, you know. Just nothing you can do about it. It's just that date. It's going to be March 2027. And March the 3rd, you can't do anything about it. And there's a lot of people believe that, and they base it just on one verse. I've tried to help you in interpreting the Word of God. Don't base what you believe on one verse. It needs to be by the mouth of two or three witnesses. You know, you should have at least two or three verses on everything you believe. And then on top of that, I not only espouse three verses to get what I believe, there has to be an example in the Bible. Once I get an example in the Bible, and once I get three verses in the Bible, then I can build a doctrine on that. I can build an understanding on that. And so when I read to you the text, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment, just kind of seems like that's all over. But look at what he said in Ecclesiastes 7. "But not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should thou die before thy time?" That's what I'm going to talk about today, dying before your time. A lot of people die before their time, and they die while they're yet alive. They just quit. they're 50 years old and they just become recluse and they quit. So nothing that would be fulfilled in their life is ever fulfilled. They're dead while they're, but I'm talking about literally dying physically too. Dying younger than you should die. Listen to what the writer said in Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. And that word fear there, that's not scared. You know what I mean? That's scared. That's what, not what that means. It means those that are totally encompassed in God. The Bible calls it in Ephesians, the life of God. You're involved in the life of God. Those that are involved in the life of God prolongeth their days. In other words, they make their time here shorter. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The Bible said about David, the psalmist David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. The indication is there that the time of his death was predatory or perceived or established by him serving his generation. When he got through serving his generation, then he died. A person's life can be shortened by not being in sync with God's life. I believe that. I believe if you don't get in the life that God has for you, you can shorten your life. But if you're in the perfect will of God, your life will be strengthened and lengthened until the purpose of God is fulfilled in your life. What do you mean by that? Let me give you just a little illustration of the Bible. You remember when the Ark of God was stolen away and the Philistines had it, and God raised up David and said, go get the Ark. And so he sent his men to get it, and they got in trouble. They started with it one time, and they were bringing it on a cart. And a man by the name of Uzzah was actually helping with the cart, perhaps driving the cart. And the Ark began to shake and wobble, about to fall off. And Uzzah put his hand out on it, and when he did, to steady it, when it seemed like a good thing, but he was killed instantly. The Ark of God was so far, the power just killed him. And that's the last we ever hear of him. And it upset David so much that David stuck it back in somebody's house and said, I'm not going to fool with the God. It kills people. But the point I want to make here, that because Uzzah did not know the will of God, he did the wrong thing at the right time, and his life was shortened. He should have known that the Ark of the Covenant was not meant to be on a cart. It was meant to be carried on golden staves that rested on men's shoulders. But he didn't know that, so it shortened his life. There's never, ever anything else said. So I just use that as an illustration. There's no telling what his life could have been if it had been allowed to continue to fruition, but it was not. Jesus gives us the perfect paradigm, the perfect pattern for living and dying. No man taketh it from me, talking about his life. Well, that's powerful. The Bible said we can be like Christ. He said, no man taketh it from me. Nobody can kill me. Nobody can murder me. That's what Jesus said. He said, nobody can take it from me. He said, I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. That's the commandment I've received of my Father. Well, that's some heavy stuff. To realize that you can't be killed. If you've got a real purpose in your life, the real purpose of God, nobody can kill you. I know some of you know of it, some of you haven't heard of Pastor John Hagee, our pastor across town, what a great, wonderful man of God. He was over in his little building on Nacogdoches where he started. And I used to have the tape. I don't think there was a video of it, but I had the audio tape. And a man came in. That's a real small building, real small. Big, about the size of the chapel back there. He came in and took about four or five shots at Pastor Hagee. You know, Pastor Hagee's not a little man. He's not a small target. But you know, none of those bullets hit Pastor Hagee because Pastor Hagee had a purpose. You know, Pastor Hagee has raised over $100 million for the Jews. Just amazing. Look at the church he's built and the outreach all over the world. There was a purpose. And so that man that was deranged couldn't kill him. I don't know where the bullets went. I don't know whether God put his hand down or the bullets. I don't know. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that they didn't hit Pastor Hagee. That's what was important. And God has made that available to every Christian. We can make our life longer or we can make it shorter. I had a wonderful friend who pastored in, in Indiana, and he had a nice church. It wasn't a big church, about 300 people. And he had a wonderful son that grew to maturity, and both of them are great preachers. And I loved both of them so much. The elder man was a friend of mine. If I was at a conference and he had any, I'd just show up at a conference. And if he had any pull at a conference, they'd come to me and say, Steve, elder wants you to preach tonight. There'd be thousands of people. I wouldn't even prepare, but I'd preach just because he had that much influence and he loved me that much. And so when he died, I was so heartbroken. And I talked to his son. He said, don't be heartbroken. He said, because Dad did it his way. Steve, he said, you know how it happened? I said, no. He said, we were driving down the road. I was driving the car. And said, he looked over at me and he said, son, we got a great group of people in that church. He said, love those people. Take care of them. Feed them till I can see them again. And then he did this. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Put his chin on his chest and he was in heaven. That's the way to go. I like that a lot better than cancer. This is something you say, well, there's a lot of God's people that have cancer and sickness and disease because we haven't taught what I'm teaching right now. There's a way to exit this earth, and you need to learn how to exit, come in and go out. You didn't have much to say how you came in. You came in, you wasn't dressed very well when you come in. In fact, you were stark naked. How embarrassing. But you do have a say on the way you go out. Praise God. If there is an appointment, it's appointed once a man to die. Not only is there an appointment for dying, there's also an assignment for living. But if you don't get the assignment for living, you're probably going to fulfill that appointment for dying, whether it's a good time or not. So you ought to ask yourself, what is your assignment? You know, God literally gave me an assignment with Becky when we came to San Antonio to build this church, and we've done that. But this church is wonderful as it is, and when there's no pandemic and there's no problem, and we've seen this thing filled, that's still not all I see. This church still has a bigger vision than that. It's my assignment. And every one of you should have an assignment. You're not all assigned to sing like Becky. You're not all assigned to preach. You're not all assigned, but you have an assignment. And Becky and I didn't build this church by ourselves. We didn't do any more than all other people have done. And they did it by assignment. Praise God. We talk about Brother Warren Inman. He's not here today. Brother Warren sits right here usually. He was on assignment. He has been here at this church for 40 years. He's done everything in this church. I mean, when there was a need, he just does it. That's his assignment. There would be no local church if there were not people that did not receive it as an assignment. And their entire life now becomes a part of that local church. And there's nothing. Local church is not a good idea. Local church is God's idea, and there's nothing stronger than a local church. And God assigns people to build that church. Find what your assignment is. David found his assignment, and he didn't die until his assignment was totally fulfilled. The appointment of death cannot come to pass until the assignment of life is fulfilled. Or, this is the bad word here. Let me say it again. The appointment of death cannot come to pass until the assignment of life is fulfilled or aborted. And most Christians, if maybe not most, many if not most, never reach the plateau I'm talking about because they abort their assignment and the appointment becomes stronger than the assignment. I want my assignment to be stronger than my appointment. God has assigned me to do something. This brings in focus all things work to good, the love of God. To them we are called according to his purpose. If you get that assignment right, you become a part of God's purpose. Praise God, that appointment now is pushed way out there until you're gray-headed and wrinkled because you are now working the purpose of God. You found your assignment. All things are working together, putting together, and you're just rejoicing in the Lord. Let me tell you a sad story. I've mentioned this gentleman before. I had my friend, I just told you about him a while ago. He's the one that when I preached to seven was there. Man, I loved that guy. He was one of my best friends. We traveled together. He's just so much fun, so much. He was tall, dressed nice, well-spoken, articulate, great in the pulpit, just wonderful, big personality. I mean, he's the kind of guy. I used to have a lady that cut my hair, and she charged me $40 every time she cut my hair. And she's a Christian lady. She's still here in town, but she's not here now in this church. But she always did my hair and give me a manicure and charged me $40. And so I introduced her to my friend. She did the same thing for me. I said, Keith, how much did she charge you? She said, oh, she's not charging me nothing. She said she just wanted to do it for me free. That's the way it was. People just liked the guy. They wanted to do things for him. But he got bitterness, and it's a long, long story, but he got bitterness in his spirit, real bitterness. And man, when you talk to him, he just had people that had hurt him, and he couldn't turn it loose. You got to let those people go. Don't let those people ruin your life. You got to let them go. But there's a few people that just got in his spirit, and he got bitter. I started a church in Houston. That thing run 800 people. He was pastoring that church, and he run it straight in the ground, that bitterness. And so this year, well, not this year, last year now, I guess it was. I don't remember, December maybe. They called me, and he just kept going down, down, down. He had a real assignment, but he got by himself, took a gun, put it to his temple, and blew his brains out. Man, I hated that. I loved that guy. He had so much potential. His assignment was, something that he could recognize. Other people recognized his assignment, but he let bitterness get in. And so his assignment was aborted, and his appointment happened. You don't want to do that. Make your assignment bigger than your appointment. The emphasis on that verse that I just read, the emphasis on called according to his purpose. Did you know that you can have a business and still be tied into God's purpose? Did you know you can work a job 40 hours a week and still be tied into God's purpose? Did you know you can have a big house and still be tied into God's purpose? You can have two cars in the garage, his and hers, and his is 1 year newer than hers. But you can still be on the assignment. He doesn't rob you. Let me explain to you. God does not take from you that you might fulfill his assignment. He gives to you what is necessary to fulfill the assignment. We're ambassadors. The United States of America does not send an ambassador somewhere with no money. When they get there, they know where they're going to live, what they're going to drive, and how much money they're going to have. You are an ambassador, and you have an assignment. And if you get in that assignment, all things will work for good. All things will work for good. I don't have a lot of time, but let's just talk about Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the prophet came to him and said, look, make up your dying bed, you're going to die. And Hezekiah went into spasms. He said, I can't die. And so he went to God in prayer, fasting. He said, God, give me 15 more years. And God did that. It's a terrible story when you read it, actually, because those 15 years, he never invested one day in his assignment. And so the 15 years rolled around, and he died. But he died worse off than he had been 15 years before. But the point I'm making, he did have the power by his faith to change the appointment into an assignment. It's a wonderful thing when you understand it. You know, the Bible said in Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Why wasn't Pastor Hagee shot and killed that day? Well, the angel of the Lord was around him. But let me explain to you. I meet them every day, from the car lot to the horse barn. They think they have an angel, but they don't. Friend, if you're not saved, and if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are not guaranteed an angel. But when you get born again, and you get saved, and you seek the will of God, and you get on assignment, you've got an angel in you. An angel of the Lord encampeth around about you every day. I know most of the people in this building right now, because there's not very many, but if it's full, I wouldn't. But I would say most of you that are in this building today have an angel assigned to you. It's a wonderful thing. I don't really pray to angels. I don't think you should do that, because to pray to angels puts them in a higher position and you in a lower position. And the Bible said, because of Christ, we are now ascended above the angels. So angels are not our equal. angels are now our servants. They run errands for us. So you shouldn't pray to angels, but you can communicate with your angel and share with him your assignment and what needs to be done to get to that assignment. The Apostle Paul was on that ship, remember, in that great, great storm, Euroclydon? That great storm, that ship was just being tossed. They said, we couldn't see the stars, we couldn't see the moon. But he said, suddenly he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with you. He said, don't worry, because you don't have an appointment. You have an assignment. And so this ship is not going to cause you to be drowned. The ship might be, and it is, when you read about it, the ship's torn up. But his assignment was so great that he couldn't die. And he said, not only that, he said, I'm going to take all these people with you. And they can't be killed during this storm either. That's a good word for us. Your children might not be saved right now, but if we are really on assignment, we can push upwards and forwards their appointment and say, Lord, I'm going to push this appointment up if you'll grant me this plea until they come into their assignment, and then they can handle their own calendar. But I'm going to handle my kids' calendar until they come to know you, Lord, as they should. And remember in the Bible, you remember the old folks, Anna and Simeon? You ever read that? I've always been interested in that. Just found great that this old man and old woman just lived in the temple. Just be like somebody coming to me and Becky and say, look, we don't have a job and we don't do anything. Would you just have a room somewhere where I could stay? I tell you what I do. I'd vacuum and I'd clean restrooms. I just want to be... Because there's going to become a revival that's so great in this church that every time these doors are open, I want to be here, lest I miss it. That's the way they were. Simeon said, I'm not going to go anywhere until I see the Lord. Waiting on the Messiah. His assignment kept him from dying. He was an old, old man. But he couldn't die because his assignment was to hold the Messiah in his hands and bless him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that there's too many people dying too young because they are now geared to their appointment and they don't understand to their appointment. They don't understand that God's got a purpose for their life. And if they just place themselves in the Lord's hands, praise God, that thing would be just so powerful in their life that they would live and live and live and live and live. Why? Because they're on assignment from Almighty God, and they're not going to die too soon. God is speaking to us in this church. I'm 71 years of age. Some of the ladies in this church, they got a guy they go to that massages them. And so I like massages. So I said, give me his name. Let me call him. I went to that guy. I don't know what you're thinking of. This guy liked to kill me. Man, I've had hundreds of massages. There used to be a guy in Beaumont, after I get through playing racquetball. He's about 6'10", 6'9". He's big. He was blind. Good guy. And after I get, he'd give me a massage. Oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. So that's what I'm thinking. So I go to this guy that they recommend, that you ladies recommend. Oh, it's a torture chamber. One of them asked me, are you going to go back? I said, are you going back? You could be crazy to go the first time, but you're absolutely nuts to go twice. Oh, that guy. But he kept saying, how old you say you are? I said, that time, I said, I'm 70. He said, I've never seen a body this preserved at 70. He said, you're younger than most people come in here, 30 or 40. He said, there's only one other person I'd compare to you. And said, I got this woman and said, she's in her 60s and said, she does triathlons and said, she's the only person. Said, are you sure you're saying? Oh, I'm sure. Friend, I'm not going to let the calendar decide my departure. I'm going to let my assignment decide my departure. There's going to be a day where I'm like going to be like my friend Indiana when I'm going to just say, Brandon, I won't be here next week. You got everything to yourself. I'll say to some of you, You got it all yourself. It's as good as it's going to get in my time because I'm getting ready to take my flight. But praise God, I want to tell you between that time and now, there's a whole lot of living to do. And I'm going to get in the presence of Almighty God. I'm going to get in God's perfect will. And I'm going to stretch my life out there. And I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to preach. And I'm going to preach everywhere. The only thing I told God is, I said, God, I don't want to preach overseas. And I've had bad experiences telling God what I don't want to do. Because I find myself doing what I said I don't want to do and loving it. When I was an evangelist, I evangelized so many years, I said, God, I don't want to pastor a church ever. And I've been at the same church 41 years. Nobody pastors that long in one church. So when I tell God, no, I don't want to do something, God just hides his smile from me. And he says, we'll see about that. But he doesn't make me do things I don't want to do. He gives me an appetite for things I didn't want to used to do. So I'm saying to God these days, this is what I'm just telling you where I'm at. I'm saying, God, I just want to see revival in America like I've never seen it. I want to see it in Living Way like I've never seen it. I want to see miracles come to pass. I want to see this building chock full of people. I want to see people coming out of wheelchairs. I want to see cancers falling off. I want to see the city of San Antonio shaking. I want to see it spread throughout America. That's what I'm telling God. I'm not sure what God's got for me further than that, but I do know this, that I'm on assignment for God. And there has been so many occasions for me to be killed in my stupidity. I should have been killed 10 years ago in that horse accident, but praise God, I couldn't die because I still was on assignment for the Lord. Hallelujah. When I was a young boy, that's the reason why I'm just so careful for young people, because I was a kid, I didn't have any sense. Maybe you do. When I was 16, I didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. I made terrible choices, and God protected me from things that should have killed me, because God had a purpose and God had an assignment in my life. And I might have been stupid, but I was pliable in the hands of God. I was addictive to his assignment, saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. It was against my nature, but I did it anyway. And God has blessed me coming in and going out. I praise God because his spirit is upon me. I feel God's presence. One of my friends in Louisiana, he's my age. His father had the church before him. It's one of the greatest churches I've ever been to, Brother Gerald Mangan. And Brother Gerald Mangan was a unique character. He had five numbers in his phone, pastored the largest church in Louisiana. He had five numbers in his phone, and I was one of them. And the phone would ring, and it would be Brother Mangan. He'd say, Steve, he's about 25 years older than I was. Steve, see, he said, I just wanted to tell you that you need to pray more. I wanted to hear your voice. God bless you. And he'd hang up. That'd be the entire conversation. He was an amazing man, but such a man of God. He built such a great church, such a man of prayer. But before he died, he called his wife in, and he called his son that now pastors the church. And he said, well, I'm getting ready to go. And they said, are you ready to go? He said, I've spent about the last 20 years of my life, about 6 hours a day in prayer. And he said, when I say prayer, I mean in the presence of God. So he said, it ain't going to be no big change for me. He said, I've lived in the presence of God so much, when I get to heaven, it won't be much different. Because he said, I'll still be in the presence of God. He said, the only thing I regret leaving you, my wife, and you, my son, behind to finish up the work. But he said, I'm going to heaven. And that's the way he went. He knew his assignment was through. Friend, if you want to live long on this earth, search out God's assignment for your life, because I'll guarantee you he has one. Latch onto that assignment, fulfill that assignment, and you will not go untimely, and it will not even be sad for you when you go. It'll be, I'm going in the presence of the Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. God's in this room right now. God's in this room right now. Let me talk first to those that are watching. Wherever you're watching from, your home, hospital, wherever you're watching this from, in your car. Just ask you, have you found out God's assignment for your life? That's the first question. And the second thing is, are you fulfilling that assignment? If you are, the angels of the Lord are encamped around you. You got nothing to fear. I want to ask you in this church, not many of us here, but enough to give an altar call. Is there anybody in this church that would say, Number one, Pastor, I don't know what my assignment is. Well, that's a real need for you to get with God in prayer. Seek God, because God will reveal that assignment to you. Or somebody else might say, I know what my assignment is, but I've been too busy doing other things to do the assignment. That was me at school. I always knew what the assignment was. I just didn't do it. Steve, you do your homework? No. I was a C student. I could have been an A student. I was a C student because I went 4 years of high school without ever taking a book home and doing almost no homework. I just didn't facilitate. And I thought it was funny. It was cute. It was easy and lazy. But now I look back and say, if I had it all over to do again, I'd be an A student. I would have got the best out of my education, which I didn't. So some of you just don't do your homework. God's got an assignment for you. Do you know what it is? If you don't, you ought to come down here right now and say, God, tell me what my assignment is. Reveal it to me today and tonight as I'm driving home and in my home tonight. Or maybe somebody says, I know what my assignment is, but I just don't do it. Either way, you can talk to the Lord. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for the people that are watching. And friend, I want you to understand this simple little message. It will change your life. If you get on assignment, your life will change. Some of you people are just like a little ball bouncing around. People just knock you around. People can say people say things to me all the time, good, bad, indifferent. Don't even affect me. Don't affect me because they are not a part of my assignment. They're not going to affect my assignment. So you didn't like my sermon? What? Doesn't matter. So you thought I was the greatest thing you ever heard? It don't matter. You think I ought to sell shoes? Don't matter. Because you have not given me the assignment. And as long as I'm on assignment, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The angel of the Lord shall be captured. Let me pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that somebody watches.